I want, dear friend, by the help of God tonight, to preach very simply on this only entrance into the tabernacle. Only one gate, it was one gate and just one gate, one entrance into the tabernacle. You know, at this gate, there were no barriers, there were no locks on the gate, there weren't even any guards standing guard at the entrance to the tabernacle. The gate was, if you like, accessible to all. There are three things I would like to tell you about in regard to this gate, and apply them in the gospel and see in this gate a wonderful picture of the way of salvation. This gate had to be acceptable to God. It was acceptable to God. This gate too was attractive to look at. It had four hangings or curtains of blue and purple and scarlet. It was a very colourful gate. But it was also, as you can readily see by the chart on the wall here, it wasn't only a colourful gate, it was a conspicuous gate. You couldn't miss it. It was right in the centre of this part of the tabernacle facing the east. So it was a colourful gate. It was a conspicuous gate. But as we're going to preach tonight, it was an only gate. It was a wide gate, 20 feet wide and about 7.5 feet high. It was a wide gate, acceptable to God, attractive to look at, and not only that, but it was accessible, we might say, accessible to all. You can very, very easily see, can't you, my dear friend, there was only one entrance into the tabernacle. If the people had said to Moses when the tabernacle was constructed in those far-off days, couldn't we have just a little wicker gate perhaps behind the tabernacle on the west side? I want to tell you, friend, God dwelt there in the tabernacle, in the holiest of all. There is no one behind God. He is final. He is eternal. He is the only God, the unique God. And God loves you and sent his Son into the world to die for your sins, so that you might not go to hell, but that you might fill a place in heaven. No, there was only one gate acceptable to God, no little wicker gate, no side entrance, only one way into the tabernacle. My friend, this is a clear picture of salvation alone through the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is why we read those wonderful words of the Savior in John 10 verse number 9. The Savior said himself, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Are you saved? What a wonderful promise we have here. Shall be saved. There is only one door to heaven, one way of salvation. The Lord Jesus said, "I am the door." I wonder tonight, The reason why perhaps you are not saved, I wonder, is it because you have been knocking, as it were, at the wrong door? Why, I heard of a young man that got saved, and he said to the preacher after the meeting, "Tonight I came in at the right door. My soul is saved." "Well, how do you make that out?" the preacher said to the young man. "Well," he said, "for years I've been knocking at the wrong door. I've been knocking at the door of religion, the door of the church, the door of good works. I've been knocking at the saint's door. But tonight I knocked at the sinner's door. I came in as a poor, hell-deserving sinner. I took it in that Christ died for me on the cross of Calvary. And I knew if ever I was going to be in heaven, I needed to come to Christ. I needed to trust Him alone. He has died for me. He has finished the work of salvation. The hymn says, all that I needed to do and to pay, Jesus has done in His own blessed way." Could I be talking to one soul in the meeting tonight? Like this young man, you have been knocking, as it were, at the wrong door. You've been trying to get saved, trying to get assurance of salvation through good works, turning over a new leaf, having good intentioned resolutions, trying religion, being sincere, saying your prayers, trying to do the best. And here you are tonight, no further forward as far as salvation. You're a sinner going to hell. You have been knocking at trying the wrong door. My dear friend, can't you see it? What a wonderful parable and picture of the gospel. If anyone wanted to get through into this tabernacle and see the beauties of the tabernacle and its glories, they had to come through this door. My dear soul, if you want to see the beauties of heaven, if you want to fill a place there, if you want to join that white robe choir, I want to tell you on the authority of the Word of God tonight, you'll need to come to Christ. You'll need to respond to His invitation. You'll need to throw aside everything else you've tried, whatever they may be. What prop are you leaning on to take you into eternity and to heaven? I want to tell you, if it's not Christ, if it's not the only door, if you haven't come to Him, these props will disintegrate in the day of judgment. They'll come away from under you. You'll have nothing to lean on at the great white throne judgment. And the only place you can go to from there is the lake of fire that will burn forever and ever. And you'll be lost irretrievably, lost tragically, lost eternally. And you will bemoan forever in the lake of fire what might have been. Maybe many a time you have been near salvation, close to it. You know, when we think of the simplicity of the picture that the Lord Jesus uses in John 10 verse 9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Why, dear friend, surely you can't miss it. This door, this entrance, only one door into the sanctuary. It was conspicuous. Plainly, easily seen, the people couldn't miss it as they approached. It was right in the center. Are you missing Christ tonight? When you read the Bible, He's the center and subject of the Bible, from the book of Genesis, the first book in the Bible, to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. Maybe you've read the Bible, but you've missed Him. When you come to the Scriptures, it couldn't be plainer. The Bible says that all who believe in Him shall receive remission of sins. He's the central message of the Bible. He's the conspicuous message of the Bible. He's the theme of the Holy Word of God from beginning to end. The prophets gave witness to Him. All the prophets. That whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins. You know, I could understand it tonight. Let me be very plain and simple. I could understand it. If there were maybe half a dozen doors. Or maybe just three or four doors. I could understand your hesitancy. Your worry. Which door should I enter? Which door should I try? I could understand your situation. Your mind. Which door am I going to try? But friend, there are not half a dozen doors to salvation. Or three or four, or even two for that matter. There is only one. Why do you hesitate? Why do you linger in your sins? You know, when anyone approached the tabernacle here and entered through this door, their faces were towards the tabernacle and God, as it were, and the world was behind them. My friend, tonight, is the world and all its powerful attractions and pleasures holding you back? Robbing you of the greatest treasure you could ever possess, eternal life. Hindering you from getting saved. Dear soul, tonight it is not worth it. The Lord Jesus said, whatsoever a man soweth, well, the word of God says that, that shall he reap in Galatians 6. But the Lord Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You see, it's either losing your soul, isn't it? Or losing your sins. As God's great unending eternity spreads out before you, and you're either going to be in heaven or you're going to be in hell, holding on to the world, pursuing its transient pleasures, which are but for time, will take you down to hell. Oh, do not let the world and its influence, the world and its power, the world and its sport, the world and its pleasure, hinder you from coming to Christ. No, there are not half a dozen doors or two doors. Says the Lord Jesus, I am the door. The words of Christ couldn't be simpler, couldn't be plainer, and yet salvation seems to evade you. You're here tonight, you know perhaps that you're a sinner, that's good. You know that what the Bible says about you is true. You've begun to believe that there is a heaven and there is a hell. And perhaps even you feel an urgency that you need to be saved. And yet in the meeting tonight, you're far away from God and you're going to hell and you're not saved. How simple are these words? What a tragedy of tragedy it would be, a tragedy of tragedies, if you miss Christ and miss heaven. It may sound very strong, but I want to tell you tonight, if you miss heaven, heaven will not miss you. Heaven will be filled! What a terrible thing to be eternally separated from God. This is a well-chosen figure, I judge, and picture of the Lord Jesus. I am the door. We used to sing in the Sunday school, one door and only one, and yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside. Which side are you? Words that are very simple. We remember them from Sunday school days. Which side are you on, friend? Are you inside the door? Maybe you hesitate on the very threshold tonight. You long to be saved. You long to know you're going to heaven. Your sins are forgiven. And you're on the threshold. You're almost there. You just haven't the faith to take one step. Only a step to Jesus. Then why not take it now? Come and thy sins confessing. And to thy Saviour bow. You're on the threshold perhaps. You're not far from the kingdom. I'd love to give you a little push. But if I gave you a little push tonight, that would be dangerous. That would be wrong, much as I want to see you saved and preach to this end and pray for the salvation of your soul tonight, and that you'll go out of the meeting not in the same way, condition, going to hell in which you came, but that you might go out brightly, gloriously, saved, and know that you're saved and ready and be able to say, come what may, whatever may happen to me, I know I'm going to heaven. Do you know something? Every day, we are constantly reminded of Christ. Every day, you say? I repeat. Every day, we are constantly reminded of Christ. The Savior does not want us to get up in the morning and go out to school or go out to work or even through the day or when we come back without us being constantly reminded of Himself. You say, what do you mean? We came in through a door tonight. We will make our exit through a door. We will go home and enter through the outside door. And go to sleep, go through the bedroom door. What a homely picture this is of the Lord Jesus. Do we understand it tonight? Oh, the picture could not be more simple. Every day, I say to you, we pass through that which always reminds us of Christ. A door is a very necessary thing. Is that simple? We wouldn't like to be without a door. We wouldn't like to sleep at night. With no door at the front. We all realize that a door is a part of life. It's a very, very necessary thing. And in many respects, we can't do without a door. A door in many ways is indispensable. I want to tell you tonight, friend, you can't do without Christ. Christ is not only necessary for salvation, He's enough for salvation. He is. And just as a door, yes, is a very useful, important part of life and very necessary. Can't you understand the words of Christ tonight? I am the door. Do you want to be saved? Do you want to be sure of heaven? When life is over, do you want to go home tonight and just smooth the pillow down and go to sleep knowing that you're saved? And if you never woke up in the morning, you know where you're going to be. Not in hell, but in heaven. That's great. Hey, that's great. Are you stumbling over the way of salvation tonight? Do you say, I know I need to be saved. I know that the gospel is the answer. And the Bible is true, and that there is an eternity, and there is a heaven and a hell, but it's too easy, it's too simple. Oh, how unlike the complex works of man is heaven's easy, artless, unencumbered plan. Why not step over the threshold tonight? Why not, dear friend, respond to the precious words of the Lord Jesus? I am the door. How many doors? One door. Only one way to salvation. One entrance into the tabernacle. Not a side door. Not a back door. No, just one entrance, one gate. Oh, it was a conspicuous gate. But it was a colorful gate. It wasn't only acceptable to God. And Christ is the only way of salvation. As far as God is concerned, God's plan of salvation, my dear friend, it's Christ from beginning to end. It's not Christ and your good works. Christ and added to your religion. Christ and religion. Christ and respectability. Christ and your sincerity. Christ and the church. Christ and your good intentions. Christ and this and Christ and that. It is Christ alone. Oh yes. On Christ's salvation rest secure. The rock of ages will endure. Nor can the faith be overthrown which rests upon the living stone. Are you resting on Christ? Or are you building your hope for eternity on the shaky foundation, flimsy foundation, futile, false foundation of man's works and man's ideas and your efforts? My friend, it'll give way. It'll damn your soul. I am the door. You see, this gate had to be made according to God's mind, according to God's pattern and plan. It was acceptable to God. Christ is acceptable to God. Christ has pleased God. Christ has glorified God. Christ has died on the cross to deliver us from the wrath of God. Christ has suffered on the cross and shed his precious blood and finished the great work of salvation that we might fill a place in heaven and not be down in hell. God can't accept you in your present sinful condition, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but he has accepted Christ. You trust in him? Are you dependent upon him? Oh, this gate was acceptable to God, yes. But it was very attractive to look at. It was held up, as you can see, by four pillars. This reminds me, and I think it's a picture of the four Gospels, Matthew in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. You know that in every one of these four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, we have the Savior presented in his glorious person. Whether he be a king, whether he be a servant, whether he be a man, or whether he be the Son of God, God himself, what a wonderful, unique, universal Savior, all-powerful, able Savior he is. We see that in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. Four Gospels, what do? They present one Gospel, they tell us of one door, one way to be saved. Do you know what the four Gospels do? You can't read the Gospels, my friend, without being attracted to Christ. How different he is. My, when we think of the colourful gate, the attractive gate to look at, with all these beautiful colours. Not only a gate conspicuous, but colourful. It stood out. The life of the Savior stood out. He did no sin. He knew no sin. He could not sin. In him is no sin. He's a sinless Savior. How can you tonight pin your hope for eternal glory in heaven upon a Savior that perhaps you wondered, has he sinned? Is he a worthy Savior? Is he a dependable Savior? Can I really trust him? Has he made some mistake? Has he blundered? Has he ever sinned once? Oh, I tell you, if the Lord Jesus had committed one sin, we're all doomed. We're all doomed! But the Gospel presents to you a sinless Savior. A Savior who is different. There's not a shadow of doubt about this. The Bible is clear. The four gospel records present to us, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, a wonderful, perfect, holy, sinless, pure Savior. You can rest assured and have no doubt. He's an all-worthy Savior. That's why his sacrifice on the cross was accepted by God, approved of by God, and God raised him the third day from the dead. He's not only a loving Savior, he is a living Savior. The Bible says he's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Are you trusting this sinless Savior? I love the words of the hymn tonight. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free, and God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. If he looks on us, he can never pardon us. He is holy. We are sinful. Hell doomed sinners. No merit to commend to him. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But he looks on Christ. Dear friend, if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, he's a different Savior. He's the only Savior. He's a reliable Savior. He's an all-sufficient Savior. He will not disappoint you. He will not in any way send you away unblessed. He will not ever let you down. What a Savior! And yet tonight you're struggling. Struggling. It's coming into my mind, floating into my mind, a young boy who wanted above everything to be saved. He says, Daddy, I just don't know how to get saved. I've tried this and tried that, and I've tried to believe, and I've read tracts and I've done this, and I'm as miserable as ever. I'm no further forward. One day they were at the swimming pool, in the water. The boy couldn't swim. Father was trying to teach him to swim. Put him on the water, just horizontally. He said, just float, boy, just float. Just let yourself go. Oh, I can't. He struggled and went down. Shallow end, of course. And two or three times went down. He said, look, son. All you have to do is just trust the water. Just let the water bear the weight of your body. Just leave it and just cease from struggling and trying anything. Just lie in the water. He did that. He said, yeah, Daddy, it works. See, I'm floating. Son, he said, if you want to be saved, you'll have to do just the same. Cease your struggling. Give up trying. Just rest in Christ. Just depend alone on him. He'll do the rest. He'll not leave you in the dark, in your sins. Oh, dear soul, can you not trust him tonight? He is worthy of your trust. He wants to save you. He's ready to save you. He died to save you. He rose again to prove he can save you. Yes, it was a gate acceptable to God. It was a gate that was attractive to look at. It was conspicuous. You couldn't miss it. When we read the Bible, you can't miss the message. Why are you in the dark tonight? Why are you struggling? Or is it that you're trying to avoid it tonight? Maybe, just maybe, you're on the very threshold. And all you need to do is just take that one step. Jesus, I will trust thee. Trust thee with my soul. Guilty, lost, and helpless, thou canst make me whole. Did I say? Yes, indeed I did. Are there any barriers to this gate? None whatsoever. Were any locks commanded by God to be put upon this gate? No. Were there any guards standing there to prevent anyone coming through this gate? No. What gospel truth we see in these writings of Moses? What wonderful illustrations of the way of salvation we even see in the tabernacle. Well, you know, once they went through the gate, and we'll talk about this during the week, we have this very large article, vessel, the brazen altar upon which the sacrifices were burned. It's a picture to us of the death of Christ. And look, see, if the gate was conspicuous and could not be missed, surely you could see it from a distance. I want to tell you, if you look through this gate, this brazen altar could not be missed. It was the largest vessel in the tabernacle. They would see it. They would have to pass by it. The priests would have to officiate there and present the sacrifices there. Listen, we will see it during the week. This altar speaks of the cross of Christ, the all-pervailing death of Christ, the sacrifice of sacrifices that put an end to Jewish sacrifices offered on Jewish altars. If you tonight are trying to get to heaven apart from the death of Christ, apart from His shed blood, you'll be disappointed. You will be doomed. You'll be lost forever. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. You know, when anyone passed through this door in the tabernacle in those days, there was plenty of room and width to walk through. And I want to tell you this. Only those who knew that they were transgressors and knew that they were sinners entered through this door. Friend, tonight, if you have not admitted and acknowledged your sinnership before God and your hell deservingness, you'll never be saved. You will never feel the urgent, desperate need of your individual salvation. For you see, we're all transgressors. We're all guilty. But this is the wonderful news of the gospel. What a wonderful Savior. He is ready to save you. Though you are guilty, though you have transgressed God's standards and God's word and are away from God and in your sins, and you're a child of the devil right now, He wants to make you His child. He wants to share His home with you in heaven. He wants to take you there. That's why He sent His Son, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you got this everlasting life? Because as you sit in the meeting tonight, there's something you have got, and there's something you haven't got. There's something you haven't got is eternal life. And the something you have got, sadly, is your sins. Are you going to come owning your guilt tonight? Acknowledging your sin and hell deservedness? That what God says about you and says about me and all in this room and in the world tonight, we're guilty sinners. Will you come acknowledging your transgression, your sin, to Christ? Throw, as it were, those arms of rebellion down. Don't let the world come in. Turn your back upon the world. Let nothing come in the way of your salvation. Respond to His invitation. It could be the last time you will hear these words, the last time you will hear the gospel. You could be in eternity tomorrow lost. Oh, the danger of putting off the matter of salvation, of lingering and hoping and wondering. Listen, Make no mistake. Stumble not over the way of salvation. I am the door. Don't miss this. By me. By me. If any man, for the gospel is to the whosoever, shall enter in, what a wonderful promise, he shall be saved. I don't think so, you say. I've tried. Does the Savior not mean what he says? Is he going to leave you in the dark? Does he not have sympathy to you? Does he not love you? Is he not ready to save you? Is he going to turn you away? Is he going to disappoint you? Is he going to let you down? Coming so far, you're on the threshold. You're nearer salvation. Nearer, perhaps, I don't know, even tonight, than ever you've been. Now you're going to go out of this meeting not having taken that one step of faith. Trusting Christ. Coming to him. Stepping over the threshold. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Why not tonight, dear friend, enter in? Just take that step. Don't listen to the whispers of the devil. No. Take the Lord Jesus at his word. Take the step. If any man, you, boy, girl, man or woman, if any man, no matter how bad you are, if any man or woman or boy or girl, enter in. I know the message is simple tonight, but it needs to be simple. And yet it's solemn and it's urgent. And there are other things in the tabernacle I know that would be a beautiful illustration of the gospel and the way of salvation. But we have concentrated on this gate. One gate. One way into the tabernacle. Acceptable to God. Your good works, your religion, your respectability, anything out of Christ, outside of Christ, is not acceptable to God. But God has accepted Christ. It was acceptable to God. It was attractive to look at. Oh, I tell you, my Savior is an attractive Savior. He's a wonderful Savior. He's worthy of your trust. He's the only Savior. He's a perfect Savior. But the gate was not only acceptable and attractive, it was accessible to all. I want to tell you at the end of the meeting, the end of the message now, none need perish. For Christ has died. Step over the threshold. Take to heart by simple trust and faith the words of Christ tonight. And know the great assurance of salvation shall be saved. Shall we pray?